CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. And we go to George's forecast. Now, sometimes he's 10 years out. Sometimes he's 100 years out. This looks to me to be immediately because it deals with the United States, Russia, India in their present posture towards each other. The U.S., George, we've talked about China not going to war, but going to the negotiating table. Is the U.S. in a good position right now with regard both the war in Europe and the confrontation with China in Asia?
At the moment, the United States is in a very good position because they have a naval force dealing with the Chinese and ground forces with anyone else. It'd be very foolish for anyone to try to attack us. They're foolish people. But I would say that we are in very good position so long as we keep building weapon systems.
Our domestic policy is said to be shaper of our foreign policy. That would mean inflation, recover from the pandemic, arms into Ukraine. That doesn't sound stable, George, is it? Especially the Ukraine piece, because it's connected to energy resources.
Well, during the Vietnam War, we had surging inflation. We, after the war, wound up with tremendous unemployment. We also wound up with a depression, recession, if you will. It was a terrible time economically. The racial situation was intensely bad. All these things were there. The U.S. survived it. And moreover, maintained its ability to carry out foreign policy. So the United States is a very strange place. It can be facing instability that would break other countries. And at the same time, having panic in the United States and come out of it. So by 1981, we were out of the mess and into the tech age. So we have to always look at the past to understand what the future is going to hold. And we've been here before.
Russia. NATO is everything to Russia's mind. Now it's at war with NATO. You use the word gridlocked in Ukraine. What does that mean for the immediate future of Russia? Are they ready to negotiate?
They're not even close to negotiating, but it may not be a decision that involves Putin for very long. Putin has committed a massive error. He did not expect a year later to be at war. He didn't expect to be at war 2 years from now and so on. There are people around him who understand that there are finite capabilities of the Russians and they're burning the oil. And the thing to watch here is just as the Soviet Union collapsed under heavy economic pressure, can the Putin regime, we'll call it, survive? And my view is that Russia is ultimately a third world power, in the sense that it does not have a serious industrial base and exports primary commodities like oil. And that's kind of the definition of a third world power. This is a weak country with some spikes, but still weak.
The weapons are escalating. The logic is they'll escalate to weapons of mass destruction. Is that in train, George?
I think not, because let's say the Russians fire nuclear weapons, okay? 30 minutes later, Putin is dead and a lot of the other attack. Each side has mapped out the location, the nature of deployment of the leadership of the other side. Each nation is assuming that they know where it is, and each nation knows that launching an attack would bring a vicious other attack. From the American point of view, there's no need to do it. Let the Russians continue in direction. The Russians could get serious, but we have to remember they can't do that without dying themselves.
Europe. The European Union, to point out very carefully, is for peace only, and it's at war. Has it come together or is it falling apart? Can you tell, George?
It is acting together, but the underlying structure of the EU is untenable. I'll put it this way. Italy is a poor country, not very careful, that desperately needs cheap money. Germany is a very powerful country. It badly needs expensive money. It doesn't want to be paid back in bad, cheap money. Reconciling the Italian economy's needs with Germany's needs are just impossible. The British left the EU. They left the EU because they saw these problems. Everybody laughed at them doing it and so on. But when Britain, the second largest economy in Europe, leaves, that's a sign of what's going to happen. And I don't think that the EU can long survive. It'll survive for a while.
Is India a great power now, George?
It's getting strikingly close. You know, India is a country we've always said that it's the country of next year, and we've said that for the last 10 years. This time, it seems to have come together under these circumstances as a serious exporting power, taking the place of China in many ways, fighting with the Chinese on its border, dealing with the Pakistanis. It is not the old India. And what it's going to be and how fast it's going to be to get there is not clear. But it's a power that is aligned with the United States at sea, allied with Russia and equipment. It is playing a brilliant game.
The Ottoman Empire 100 years ago today devolves around a number of nationalities at odds with each other, but Turkey has always been a favorite of yours, George, for the future. Is it still?
Yes. If we see what I expect, which is a weakening of the Russian Federation, and you see the normal chaos in the Middle East, Turkey is the last man standing. Now, it's had difficulty being that. President Erdogan has not done really well. But ultimately, it is a crossroads of Asia and Europe. It's really where you talk Belt and Road. Don't look at China. Look at Turkey. Its ability to generate cash out of trade is enormous and has a very educated population. It's been managed badly, but I think when it all comes down to it, it'll be very serious.
Latin America, Central America, South America. China's in there for extractive services. Russia's playing a prankster. What is the future of Latin America immediately? Is it U.S. side or China side?
Well, it can be either side. It doesn't matter because they don't bring very much with them. I mean, the fact of the matter is, tragically, what China does doesn't change the balance of anything. They can irritate us, as Cuba does, as Venezuela, the United States. They can trade drugs, which the Russians, the Soviets, were very big in days. But to say that I have this position, therefore I'm powerful, well, that reminds us of the Cuban Missile Crisis. It didn't work out that way.
Finally, George, 30 seconds. A world at peace in a Cold War? What is it, George? It's a contradiction.
Somewhere in the world, there will always be a war. How big it is and how it spreads is unknown. But we're humans, and we humans fear each other. And because we fear each other, we'll go to war with each other. So the answer is that somewhere in the world, there'll be peace. Somewhere, there'll be war. And sometimes, there'll be in-between mixing.
George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site on forecasting. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly everything seems darker, less lively, and you lose your motivation to get out of bed.
If you struggle with depression, you're not alone. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, and no matter the time of year, it may affect your behavioral or physical ability to live a happy life.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you're going through, and we're here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental wellness.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.